White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 309. Welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico. I haven't done it without a script in a while, but this is a quick little show as John Ringer and I get ready to do our usual AU Wishbone. We thought we would talk for just a couple of minutes, seeing as how we've both just recently seen Thor Ragnarok. John, welcome aboard White Rocket Show.
Thanks, Van. It's good to be back.
Yes, so we have another topic of interest to our listeners and to you and me, because we both happen to have seen it this past weekend as it has come out. This is the third Thor movie and the most recent Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. It was a little bit different. Now, I guess what we should do is take a couple of minutes to talk about non-spoilery just reactions, and then we can give the spoiler alert warning. And I do have the soundboard for the Wishbone up, so I can probably find a a sound. And then we can talk about a little bit of spoilers. So just in general vague terms, for people that haven't seen it yet, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, number one, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's fun. It's entertaining. It's funny. It's visually and tone-wise kind of the opposite of Thor 2.
that's fair.
And and not funny in the forced way that Guardians 2 was, but just kind of silly and funny in a movie that didn't take itself too seriously and didn't get weighed down by the baggage of like being the 20th Marvel movie or whatever. It just went out there and had fun with it, and it was really an enjoyable movie experience.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. The only negative that I would say about its tone that it, there's two things that I've observed so far about it to family so far, and that is one, it tonally it's more like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie than like the other Thor movies or Captain America movies or whatever, right? It's got that happy-go-lucky wink and a nod, chuckle going on that the Guardians movies do. It's not quite Airplane, but it's closer in some ways to Airplane than it is to, like, you know, Captain America.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the other thing is, I said this movie tries to be almost like an Iron Man movie without Tony Stark in it. Like, the main villain, the Grandmaster, played by Jeff Goldblum, reminded me more than anybody of Hammer in Iron Man 2. Who's trying to out-goofy Tony Stark. He's trying to out-cool Tony Stark, and he comes off as goofy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what Jeff Goldblum's character reminded me in this movie, is like he's trying to be Tony Stark from another galaxy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's trying to be Justin Hammer, rather, from another galaxy. And in a way, that's kind of funny. And in another way, it's kind of annoying. So I give, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give this movie about an 8.5. The 8 is for everything it does right, and it does a whole lot right. And the half is that it's also pretty funny, but I take away a half a point for the times it goes a little too goofy, a little too Justin Hammery, and I take away a point for stuff I'll talk about on the other side of the spoiler space.
That's fair. I mean, I think it's a fun, family movie experience. I think it's tone is not too dark. And but I just think, like, Thor 2 was, you know, dry and dark and too serious, and then tried to and we'll get into this stuff, the rest of it on the other side. But I just think it really came back the other way, and the director, you know, is this guy who made this vampire film, What We Do in the Shadows. Mm. And if you haven't seen that, one of my daughters loves it and made me watch some of it on Netflix, whatever. And it was funny. Like, it, the same humor is there in that. Mm. And so you could see, you know, where this guy got it.
Right. Yeah, and he's the voice of the rock guy, Korg, who is, mm-hmm. who is sort of the Drax of this movie. In the sense that he's the big guy that's unexpectedly funny. That's another reason why it has kind of a Guardians of the Galaxy feel for me, is it has a group of goofy aliens just like Guardians of the Galaxy did.
That's fair.
And they, you know, go out of their way to make them funny. It's, yeah, I guess we should go ahead and get ready to do the spoiler thing here. Any other thoughts about it, non-spoilery, that like, it has a big cast.
Yeah, no, if you like Marvel movies, you should go see it in the theaters, like as soon as possible. It's really worth seeing.
Well, there's two characters, well, I'll say on the other side of the spoiler warning, there's two characters that are not in it that disappointed me, but on the other hand, there's so many that are, that it's kind of hard to see how they could have used them. In fact, I'm really glad one of them wasn't in it after the way things play out. So, all right. Well, let me go ahead and hit the... I'm just going to pick a random loud noise thing. After this random loud noise, we will be talking spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want spoilers, bail out now.
Factoid of the week.
Oh my god! You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
All right, we are now moving into spoiler zone for just a few minutes. This is going to be a very short show, but we just want to get our reactions out there and our thoughts. Let me say this first. There's two characters that are not in it. One wasn't in it at all. The other was conspicuously absent. The Enchantress. I just can't fathom having the Executioner without the Enchantress. It's like having Cloak without Dagger, you know. It's just odd. It's like having Reed Richards without Sue.
But I feel like a little bit that, you know, the Goddess of Death served the Enchantress role.
Yeah.
And it really just shows the larger narrative failure. They should have introduced those two characters in the last movie.
Yeah.
And then they could be around in this one, but they didn't.
And I did like that Scourge, the Executioner, he got more of a character arc in this little movie, his little parts of this movie, than in 50 years of comics. Because in the comics, he's just big, dumb, muscle-bound guy with an axe, you know, who has to suffer the ignominy of knowing that the chick he hangs out with is actually in love with Thor.
Yep.
And yet in the movie, he gets humor, where he's like, I'm just the janitor. That was awesome. And he gets the machine gun stuff. He does the sacrifice, you know. I mean, he has more of a story arc in this movie than probably anybody does.
And he hides among the refugees, yeah, and then he turns into the hero.
Turns into the hero. Yeah, I mean, the Executioner, I didn't know you had it in you, buddy. Wow. What a great... People are going to think he's an awesome character and go back and read all those comics and be like, man, he sucks.
Where was all that come from?
Where was that? Exactly. So I wonder if people realize that was Dr. McCoy and Aylmer.
Yeah, I thought about that.
That's funny. The other one missing, of course, is the Lady Sif. Well, I mean, of course, Jane Foster, but they openly, you know, kind of mentioned that they broke up, and we already knew that. I mean, in terms of people that they didn't exclude, they just weren't in it. You know what I mean? They excluded Jane Foster, but they just didn't have Sif or Enchantress. And I'm telling you, I was disappointed Sif wasn't in it until I realized she'd have gotten killed with... They killed the Warriors 3!
Yeah, but I kind of... Again...
You killed the Warriors 3!
How many more Thor movies are they going to make? The answer is probably none.
Probably none.
So,
yeah.
You know... What the only Sif could have helped if she was in the movie, like helping Heimdall or something. That's the only value she could add in. I was fine. Like, I liked that they cut the ties with the first two movies. No people from Earth, no Jane Foster, no Darcy, no Professor. And, you know, no, we didn't need the Warriors 3 playing a big part or Sif playing a big part at helping out. Like, I like that they kind of cut the cord and went in a different direction with that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they went in a different direction and made it fresh. But the
Warriors
3,
two
characters.
Of them died like that.
Boom! I know. At least Hogan got to fight a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Volstagg just was... And Fandral, dang.
But I like that they died quickly because it did kind of make a sense of, like, she's not messing around.
Yeah, it did. But I kept waiting for them to bring them back to life. And then when I realized they were never going to bring them back to life, I'm like, well, dang. And then I was like, well, at least Thor will mourn them. No, he didn't even care. He didn't care. He's on flying his spaceship. So... That was the one, right? I said there was like, you know, 8.5. Half of it was when the humor didn't work. The other one was that my favorite characters are the Warriors 3 and Sif, and three of them get ignominious deaths, and Sif doesn't even get a name check. That was disappointing to me because I really like them. I love all the old comics, the Roy Thomas. I mean, the Len Wein, especially the Len Wein and John Buscema, and they're big in that. So... But the other one though, the stuff that Sif could have done, at least in some ways, though it wouldn't have fit her character, was one of the Valkyries, right? And that's a complicated character. Just real quick, much of this story, not all of it, it was kind of cobbled together, but a lot of this story came from Planet Hulk,
yes.
where Hulk, you know, gets exiled to this planet by accident, basically, and he becomes a gladiator, and he falls in love with this gray woman. Who is a warrior woman and looks a lot like the Valkyrie character in this movie. So I kept trying to figure out, well, is she falling for Hulk? Is she falling for Thor? Because she's supposed to be Thor. Hulk. She's supposed to be Hulk's girlfriend, but she's acting like she likes Thor. So what's going on? Because she was a Valkyrie and not a gladiator. But the thing is, A, that could have been Sif's, at least in parts. And then the other thing is, I was glad that they just said she was a Valkyrie and not like the Valkyrie from the Defenders.
Yes.
Because the Valkyrie from the Defenders is not an alcoholic who kidnaps people. Okay. So I was not happy that was going to be the Marvel's Valkyrie. I'm perfectly, perfectly happy if she is a Marvel's Valkyrie because there's a bunch, but just not the one that's in the Defenders because she's not one that needed a character rehabilitation and possibly, you know, rehab herself, you know what I mean? And and was not very noble. She's very noble. So, I mean, it's a ticky-tack point, but I like that character and we're never going to get the other one, so I guess it doesn't matter.
It's true.
Like you say, we're never going to get the Warriors 3 in anything else again, so it wouldn't have mattered, but I just go back and watch the first one over again to see them, I guess. And the funny thing too, if you haven't read the story, is that they turned the bug character into just a running joke.
But he was kind of the villain almost.
He was the big villain.
The whole story.
Yes.
Meek.
He was the big, he ended up being the one that nearly ruined everything and killed everybody. Good Lord. Yeah. If you haven't heard, David Wright and I did a review of that good long story. On a recent episode of this program. So you can go into our archives and just in the last, you know, 3 or 4 months and find it, folks, if y'all want to hear it. Because it is a really good story. So what did you think about them just going ahead and actually encouraging Ragnarok and having Flaming Guy attack and destroy the whole city and Heimdall helps everybody escape?
You know what? I didn't see that part coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like that we have to make Ragnarok happen instead of preventing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fine with it. Like she's too powerful here. We can't stop her. They'll kill everybody. It's the only way we can win. And you know, I like it. Kind of the maturation of Thor as a leader and protecting his people versus protecting Asgard, the place. And so I was fine with that. I thought it was a cool idea. Like since this movie was on the drawing board and just, you know, you're thinking he's got to stop Ragnarok. Well, no, right. He's got to pull the pin on Ragnarok.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing was interesting was Marvel has really come to understand that with the movie version of Loki, you don't make him the villain. He is much more entertaining and much more interesting as the unreliable ally.
Yes. One of Ethan's favorite scenes in the movie was we have to do the, what did they call it?
The get help or whatever?
We have to do get help. We have to get help. And he's like, no, not get help. Yeah, get help. And he walks in the room saying, get help. My brother's injured. And he throws what he said back.
Use him as a weapon. That's funny. Well, my favorite was when Hulk got Thor and started smashing him. And Loki's like, yes, that's what it feels like.
when the Hulk comes out and Loki's like, I need to get off this planet.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah. Because Hulk is the one person, the one being that Loki knows will whoop his butt and not even think twice about it.
That's right.
That's hilarious. That was really good. Yeah, so Loki is great. You just have to use him the right way. When he's the villain and he's not sympathetic, he's not as good, right? That's, to me, that was like the one weak thing about the first Avengers movie. It's wonderful, but Loki is having to be bad in it, and he works better. It would have worked better if there had been another villain, kind of like Ronan.
Yes.
And Loki had been kind of like sort of helping the Avengers and sort of helping Ronan, you know? Because I know he was sort of helping Thanos, but Thanos wasn't going to take an active role. It just didn't need to be. I don't know. But anyway, people want a solo Loki movie now, and and one other thing I got to mention real quick, and this will be my last point, and see if you have anything else. Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
That whole scene was fantastic, but it highlights. Go ahead.
I didn't love it. I love Doctor Strange, but the whole zipping around thing was a little much.
Well, I liked when the hammer was trying to catch up to him and you heard things smashing and Thor's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, that was fine.
But what it did for me, and I agree, they kind of overdid the zapping around. That's true. But the one thing it did for me is highlight what I've always said, which is that Doctor Strange is a great supporting character. He's not a great lead character to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a handful of Marvel characters that are great supporting characters, but they don't work well as the lead. That would be Nick Fury, Doctor Strange, the Hulk, and the Submariner. They all are really good playing off of heroes, playing off of allies, playing off of other people, but they don't. That's why I didn't like the Doctor Strange movie as much as I thought I would, because it was like 80% origin, and then he just kind of does something weird, and it's over. I'm just like, you know, I know his origin, so I'm waiting for something different, and then I get like 10 minutes of something different. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, I didn't like the Doctor Strange movie as much as I want to. And isn't it weird to have him having an American accent? I know he's an American character, but I look at Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, and I just think he needs to have a British accent.
I'm fine with it. The whole thing was, A, you know, they got to use him in the movie, and B, they, now he's tied to the larger universe more directly.
Yeah, he knows about the Asgardians and everything.
Well, and Thor knows where he lives, and so when stuff goes bad, he can go, yeah, I know this guy.
And that sounds like the way the dialogue would go in one of these now. Oh, yeah, yes. I know this guy.
No, it's just like in Civil War. They go, I know a guy.
Oh, boy. Well, I do like that Marvel Cinematic Universe has gotten to the point now that they can just roll these characters out in random combinations, and we know them so well now that we can just enjoy their interactions no matter who it is, right? I mean, you could have a scene with Black Widow and Star-Lord, and it would be awesome, you know?
Yes.
Or Ant-Man and Rocket Raccoon. It would be awesome.
Like, if you'd have told me years ago that they would make this movie, and my favorite part of it would probably be Korg, I would have said, you're crazy. But he was great in this movie.
Yeah.
He was so funny.
Yeah.
And I this parts with him were really good. And then, like, just some of the other stuff, Banner jumping out of the ship onto the Rainbow Bridge and not transforming.
That was funny. The bridge. See, that's the thing. I mean, if you go in, if you go into this movie expecting another serious, awesome Thor movie like me, then it's going to be like, what? But it would be kind of like if you went into Guardians of the Galaxy expecting it to be Star Wars, you know. I mean, expecting it to be some serious sci-fi drama and Arrival or something, and instead you get Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, the characters were the characters. It was just a lot of winking and nodding at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in some ways that's really good. In some ways it's, yeah.
There was a couple times that I felt like, really?
Yeah.
It's a little too far. Even for me, and I really appreciated a lot of the humor, and I was laughing a lot. There was a couple, like when Thor's spinning around in the chain.
Yeah.
And he's telling him, like, no, wait till I come back around. I'm like, come on.
To the big fire demon guy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And the fire demon guy just sits there patiently waiting for him.
Yes.
Nah, I'm just like, oh, come on. it was Surtur. Of course, it was Surtur.
Yeah, it was Surtur.
But, all right. Well, I guess that's why I say 8.5 out of 10. It was really great. I loved it. I loved it for what it was. I might have wanted it to be something else, but for what it was, I thought they did a great job with it. What's your final verdict?
Absolutely, really, really enjoyable. One of the better Marvel movies for sure. And like, I mean, again, way better than Thor 2. Like 100 times better.
See, I really like Thor 2. So,
I just think it's better all around. And I think, like, the humor. Like, here's the difference. Like in Guardians 2. It was funny, but it felt like they had outsourced that script to some late night comedy writers and forced them to add more jokes or whatever.
Yeah.
And this movie didn't seem like that. This movie was just naturally funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were forcing in jokes like they did in Guardians. That was my take. I don't know.
Yeah, but Guardians is a whole other thing. We need to do a show.
I like that they separated from the first two movies. I didn't need to see those characters again. I wanted to see something different, and they went the whole Thor space route and tied it into Planet Hulk, and there were good fight scenes where they're playing Led Zeppelin music, so I knew you were happy about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they had the Immigrant Song rocking, yeah. A lot of that was in the trailer, unfortunately. I wish that the trailer was so great that I wish that I loved seeing it, but almost watching the movie, I almost wished I hadn't.
Yeah, no, because like if you hadn't seen the trailer, you wouldn't know it was the Hulk, right?
Oh, right. Oh, man.
And that would have been just an incredible reveal.
Yeah, it's like if in the Raiders of the Lost Ark trailer, if they had shown him shooting the guy with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you get a big laugh in the trailer, but then when you see it in the movie, you're like, oh, yeah, that was cool, but it's too bad I don't get to experience it now, you know? So, that's true. All right, well, we'll wrap up. We got a sports show to do, folks, so thanks to all our patrons. This is a short show, and so I'm going to not go down the whole list, but all you patrons, you know who you are, and we appreciate you. We'll be back with a full-length show coming up very soon, and we'll thank everybody. But yeah, Thor Ragnarok, awesome. You knew John and I would like it. We did. So Rocket's going to get on out of here for another episode. We'll see you guys down the road.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.